Our lesson this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 49, the believer's resurrection body. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision Paul received from God as he ministered at Corinth in Acts chapter 18, verse 10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 49, Paul described a believer's resurrection body. For deniers of the resurrection asked how it could occur and what was the nature of the resurrected body. So we view the passage for our insight. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who authored the word through holy men of God, who illuminates the word of God to the believer, who also equips the believer to live the word of God in the power of the Spirit. We ask for wisdom to utilize each one of these ministries of the Holy Spirit this morning, that we might understand the passage and use it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, well, we'll read the passage and then look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 49. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which was spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they that are the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we, speaking of believers, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Okay, having presented the case for belief in the resurrection, Paul anticipated objections from readers who denied the resurrection, including their questions as to how the dead body could be raised and with what kind of body could a resurrected person have once the current body had decayed to dust in physical death. These people who denied the resurrection, they look at it from a naturalistic perspective. You see, take a body. A body dies, a body deteriorates, okay? And you're left with a skeletal structure, and eventually the skeletal structure will decay and disappear. And the point is, how in the world are you going to raise that? I've had Christians ask me, how about people who are buried at sea? You've had people who have died at the sea, and they're buried at sea, and their molecules are all over the place, probably ingested by different fishes and whatnot. How about Christians who were burned at the stake, for goodness sake? Because, you know, you talk about a large portion of the body has been put into the atmosphere and spread all over the place. How in the world are they going to be raised from the dead? Well, Paul dismissed these objections as being foolish. For nature itself illustrates the fact that when one sows seed, it does not produce a living plant unless the seed itself dies. Also, the seed that one sows is not the body that will sprout from it. For the bare kernel of wheat or some other grain is that which is sown is different from the plant that sprouts from the seed that is sown. Thus God gives a body as he has decided, and to each seed its own kind of body that sprouts from the seed. I have noticed this especially. I've dabbled a little bit in gardening. I don't know if you've noticed, but the seeds for beets, they're all crinkly, and you know, they almost look like a piece of wood chip. You stick it in there, and off comes this beet, you know, and that produces this great big bulb, this purplish bulb, and it produces ingredients that are very good for your blood, especially for the circulatory system. But they come from these ugly little seeds. It's just a fascinating thing how that can occur. But anyway, what the seed that is sown is not what comes up, but it's a plant. So God gives the body as he has decided, and to each seed its own kind of body that sprouts from the seed. Paul then noted the wide variety of bodies that exist in the current creative order. He did this in verses 39 to 41. Human beings have one kind of flesh. Animals have another kind. Birds and fish have their own unique kinds of physical bodies. Not only in animals, they have animals differ from animals greatly. Take the platypus. Evolutionists don't know what to do with a platypus. It has a beak like a duck. It nurses its young when it's small. It has a pouch. It has fur. It can swim and has, I think, a tail like a beaver. It's just, you know, it's like nature just threw it together. And I think God said, let's do something here. Let's make something that's going to give the evolutionist a headache. And that's what he did, produce a platypus. But platypuses always produce platypuses. It's a fascinating thing. But there are different types of animal life, plant life, fish, and so forth. Okay, there are also heavenly bodies, as distinct from earthly bodies of humans, animals, and birds, and fish. Then among the heavenly bodies, there are different kinds of glory. That's an understatement. The glory of the sun, another kind of glory of the moon, another kind of glory of the stars, and stars differ from another in glory. I don't think Paul understood galaxies at this point, but there are galaxies out there that are humongous. And there are galaxies that are formed in the shape of a pinwheel. And if you turn them on the side, the pinwheel has one end going up and the other end going down. Just like God decided to throw everybody a curve. There are galaxies that are bluish in hue. They're pink. They're reddish. There are huge clouds of dust out there that are lit up. It's just amazing the various things that God has created. Similarly, the resurrection body has different characteristics from one's current body. The body that is sown in physical death is perishable, but that which is raised is imperishable. That's going to be a wonderful thing. Someday it's going to come along, if you're walking near an atomic bomb and it happens to go off, you'll say, huh, isn't that interesting? It won't affect you one bit. But nowadays it'll affect you a whole lot. The body that is sown in physical death is sown in dishonor, for death is the product of sin. But the believer's body that is raised in honor without a sin nature. The body that is sown in physical death is sown in weakness due to the presence of the sin nature, but it is raised in power due to its liberation from sin and its debilitating effects. The body that is sown is a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body with the capacity to appear and disappear, to pass through walls or to stand on physical structures such as Christ's body could do. Remember Luke 24, verses 36 to 43, the disciples are meeting with the men from Emmaus that Jesus had walked with. All of a sudden, Jesus appears in their midst. He could choose to disappear, he could appear. And they thought they were looking at a spirit because they didn't see him come in. And Jesus said, no, you know, I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and bone. Look at me. And then he said, by the way, do you have anything to eat? Now, some manuscripts read that they gave him honey, but he didn't. They gave him broiled fish. And he ate the broiled fish, and it didn't flop to the floor. It stayed in his body. So in the spiritual body that we have, we will be able to materialize like the Lord Jesus, and we'll be able to dematerialize. That's going to be something. If the door's locked, just dematerialize, walk through it, and then materialize on the other end. My mother had a dream of someday sitting up in orbit and seeing the sunrise like John Glenn did. Well, if you want to do that, you can. But the amazing thing is we have a resurrection body that is ahead of us that is absolutely phenomenal. Paul added that there's a physical body, there's also a spiritual body, and he referred to Genesis 2:7 to show that the first Adam was made a living soul in a physical body, but the last Adam, Christ, was made a life-giving spirit. As I was actually typing that sentence, I was thinking, I wonder, when God created Adam out of dust, he knew eventually that sin would come into the world, but he's showing that the first creation is just out of the dirt. Now, if God can make a human body, like he's made our human bodies, out of a bunch of dust of the earth, what in the world is he going to do in creating a new body? It's going to be a marvelous, marvelous experience to have a new body like that, that will never need sleep, will be able to eat, won't have to eat, that kind of a thing. It's we have a wonderful future for us as believers. Well, having mentioned the contrast between the first Adam and Christ, Paul discussed this at length in verses 46 to 49. The spiritual body is not the first body, but the natural is first, and then the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was made from the earth, a man of dust, but the second Adam is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust, and as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we believers have borne the image of the man of dust in the first Adam, so also we believers will bear the image of the second Adam, Christ, the man of heaven. Incidentally, I want to correct an error that the Jehovah's Witnesses have come up with. And the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that in the resurrection body, it's a completely different body than the body that we have. That's not true. We know that because the Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he still had the nail prints in his hands, the nail prints in his feet, and the wound in his side. In fact, he told Thomas, thrust your hand into my side. He didn't have any pain, but he had that open wound in the side and his hands and his feet. You could feel them. So it was the same body that the Lord Jesus had before he died, and he also had that same body afterwards. But his body was somewhat changed. We know that on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus, when he was glorified, the disciples said his visage or his face was changed. Now, we don't know exactly how that change occurred. We know that there were, all of a sudden he started shining like the sun, but it could have been there could have been slight modifications as to the structure. We don't know. But the Lord was in a glorified body on the Mount of Transfiguration, and so was Elijah. And so was Moses. Moses is a man who died. Elijah is a man who was raptured. So that's typical of believers. Some believers die and some believers will be raptured. But we'll be in glory with the Lord. The lesson is, though we do not know the particulars involved, we do know that our current bodies that are affected by the presence of sin natures is weak. It's not glorified. It's corrupt and transitory, where our resurrection bodies are without sin, very blessed with power, glory, incorruptibility, and they are eternal. So in application, may we believers believe in our bodily resurrection of blessing and deliverance from our current state. May we labor for the life to come and God's reward instead of living for this world. 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is in the constant process of passing away. But he that does the will of God is in the constant process of living unto the eternal state, or living unto the messianic kingdom. So it's very important to give ourselves to the life that is to come. Meanwhile, we have these bodies. And these bodies are corruptible, they're deteriorating, they will die given enough time. But what God wants us to do is to utilize these bodies for eternity. So serve the Lord now in these bodies that are temporary, and that gives glory to the Lord. And of course, believers will be rewarded. We'll be rewarded. We're all going to give an account as believers to the Lord for what we've done in the body, and whether it's good or bad, the Bible says that. Another passage, every idle word that man speaks, he shall give an account for. So we have to watch everything that we do, everything we say is recorded by the Lord, and we'll give an account to that. So we do have a wonderful future that is ahead of us, and it's a glorified body. As many of you know, I have a daughter who was born with a deformed hand, the right hand. She's nicknamed it Henry. That's what she's always called it, Henry. And one day she came to me. It was during the VBS. Some other kids had noticed that she had her hand. And she came to me. She said, "Dad, is my hand ever going to grow out?" I said, "Well, honey, not in this life. Not in this life. But in heaven, you'll get a new body." And she looked at me. She was startled. You know, she thought it was just a matter of time before it would grow. But I shared that with her. But that information is becoming more and more valuable to her. Because as time goes on, she's looking forward to the day, and she's going to appreciate the glorified body probably more than the rest of us, because she's suffered a lot through that. But the Lord is using that in her life as a testimony to other people. There's a problem with the head. She's had Chiari 1 malformation. We've had to have brain surgeries and whatnot. Some of the muscles in her shoulder and the right are not fully developed. That's an issue, so she's had to learn to write with her other hand. But, you know, and people who go through, when I go to a store and I see someone who's in a wheelchair and they have cerebral palsy, you kind of feel sorry for them, but then I look at that and I say, okay, that person has cerebral palsy, I don't. I'm more accountable to God than that person as far as what I do with my body. That person is very limited as to what they can do. I'm not as limited. So, you know, I look at myself and say, okay, what's my accountability? And that's what we ought to do. You know, every time we look at a person who's handicapped in some ways, okay, I don't have that problem. Okay, I'm more accountable. What should I be doing for the Lord? And then we should be looking forward to heaven. But the beauty is God has a solution for all of this. A new body. Okay? New body. And then we'll be in glory with the Lord. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the question, on the lesson itself. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that's come up, feel free to address it. And, of course, we'll seek to answer it through the Word of God.